again, like I mentioned yesterday, these grandparents is a cohort of really in despair that has been born and raised in poverty. And they have to deal with so many social, political adversities, and then have to succumb to the impacts of HIV, nursing and nurturing and having that anticipatory grief with their own adult children until they die. And then they have to go through the same experience with their own grandchildren and have to experience that all over again. So you have to think of what the mental health implication is on that population. What does that really mean? And I think it provides us a rich experience of that phenomenon. And that's why I'm looking at that population. So I did some literature review, and I looked at some of the databases and tried to search for grandparents, psychosocial well-being, mental health, looked at some other terms to be able to identify what's going on in the big picture. I got all five of studies in Uganda that have been done, not specifically about grandparents, but they've been done about the impact of HIV on extended families. And so there is no really focused studies that are looking at the grandparent as the unit of analysis and being able to look at health outcomes of these individuals, especially mental health. In Uganda, I think about only 1% of national budget is designated to mental health, and that's to psychiatric disorders, so not the soft depression or anxiety. As it is for even physiological disorders, people are not able to go to the hospital until either they're dying. They can't afford it. They don't have the access to it. And so definitely mental health issues become, they're not priority at all. And so I thought I would focus on looking at that piece. So because I found very few studies looking at that phenomenon, I had to expand my search to other communities that might have some bear some similarities with this population, and looked at minority populations, low income populations, and maybe have some resemblance with the ethnic identities, especially when it comes to caregiving, and especially the values around caregiving. And the African American community was the closest that I could be able to get to. And I always have to make that clear, because I'm questioned on why do you think it's the American, African American? So you have to compare to Ugandans. But those are my reasons, and I stick to them. I have to point out that some things were different. Elderly versus older. So elderly in the African sense is a status, social status of pride and respect, and it was the most appropriate term to use for my population. I found out the hard way, though, when I was recruiting. And I said, I'm looking for elderly caregivers. And this lady on the other side of the phone saying, well, what age? And I said, 55 years and older. She said, oh, you're calling me elderly? So I found out that definitely it's not the same. And physically, physiologically, it's not 55 years old person here is not the same as the one in Uganda. And so, but in the literature, it's been used interchangeably. And so if I do, that's the reason. Caregiving, again, versus grandparenting. Caregiving is more of the, I think, the research term that's used to describe this role. But most of the grandparents in the literature I looked at don't refer to themselves as caregivers. They refer to themselves as grandparents and their grandparenting. And also I use the 55 years and older, again, based upon the mortality rate in Uganda, to be able to look at that population. And for those who are taking off infants to 18 years of age for at least 6 months is what I was trying to look at. So the studies that I found in the Ugandan group, again, they were looking at the impact of HIV and not focusing really on the health outcomes. And the American studies, mostly quantitative, but there were some as well that are qualitative in nature, and some that looked at health outcomes and interventions. I think the other studies, international and African studies, were pretty much the same. So these are some of the findings or the themes that came through the grandparenting literature that I was able to look at. Again, traditionally, older adults have been looked at as the care receivers until the 80s and to now, where we are looking at grandparents as caregivers, or rather older adults as caregivers as opposed to receivers. And some of the factors that have been identified as influencing that change in role is incarceration of the adult children, effects of substance abuse, mental health, you know, child abuse, abandonment, and other social factors that, you know, force these grandparents either, you know, to take care of their grandchildren. Again, the impact of HIV was more on the Ugandan portion. The other part is the cultural and gender expectations. Again, as it is in sub-Saharan Africa, the elderly women are the traditional caregivers to both, and you know, to seek family members and grandchildren. But again, that has been seen in other populations as well within the United States. Caregiver burden is an area, I mean, a theme that came out, but caregiver burden has not been defined clearly in the literature, but I think the best definition was the one that based upon physical, psychological, and social, financial impact on this individual. And again, as it showed in both American and Ugandan literature, there's a lot of physical burden that might be involved. More so, of course, in the African community or Ugandan community than it is within the United States, especially since grandparents tend to do a lot of outside activities such as farming. And that picture is not so clear, but it also spoke to me from a personal experience in terms of what is involved physically pertaining to this role. That older lady sitting on a of maize or corn, but you know, I was thinking about the work involved, you know, in getting to that stage. From my own personal experiences, older individuals or family members in general, but these older individuals who are caring for their families wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and head off to the, you know, farm. Normally, it's long distance that they have to walk. Get there, they're bending over with the, you know, digging under the sun, taking short breaks to have a starchy breakfast, maybe cassava or potatoes. And they're doing that until 5 and come back home, prepare a big meal of a starchy food without protein mostly because they can't afford it. And they do that over and over. And then they harvest and have to dry the corn and till it dries and have to